always encouraging when you're sharing the word and you realize that kind of the word's already been preached before you get on your feet. So all you do is you just keep underlining it because God's already saying it. And because God's already saying it, you know it's what we all need to hear. Okay? I'd like us to go to Isaiah chapter 9. And this is a part of the Bible that is very appropriate to this time of the year. And I just want to read from those few verses. They're very familiar to us, but it's just good to read them. You'll probably have heard them. You'll hear them again during the Christmas period, but it's good to hear them again. I'm going to start from verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Good words, aren't they? In those early verses, it talks about the enemy being defeated. It talks about every battle being won. And then it comes to the most familiar verse for us: to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And when Daniel just said what I share today, those four phrases came into my mind: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as you can have heard from the things that have already been shared today, the elements of those things have been coming through to us. Wonderful Counselor. This is Jesus, who we can see. Christmas can rather slur things, but we see Jesus as someone mighty. Now, Wonderful Counselor. Counseling is the words that are spoken. When someone goes to see a counselor, they receive words to help them with their problem. So counseling is all about words. So the Wonderful Counselor is the one who is speaking words into our lives. And we need to make sure that we have got the right counselor saying the right words. So what you said right at the beginning, Kate, was amazing, because you said, look here, here's a song. I want to stand up and I want you to say those words. And so we said those words because it's important that we make a declaration of who we are. It says of the words that Jesus spoke, it says, he said, the words that I have spoken are, the words that I have spoken are spirit and they are life. That comes from John 6 and 63. So, if we want the Wonderful Counselor to be doing what he needs to do in our lives today, and over this Christmas time, we want to make sure the right words come into our lives every day. In Psalm 119 and verse 24, it says, your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. Isn't that interesting? Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. Now, I've set up a book table back at the back because I've got a few things that you need to buy. some of you, we've had, this has been around for a while. A lot of you have this, and a lot of you have been reading it, and we are very encouraged when you come to us and say, hey, I've got faith food, I've been reading it, and the words that came through this week were just really what I needed to hear. And that encourages us. And the reason why we put this together as a daily devotional is that the things that you hear when you start the day are very important. Because you are receiving counseling from whatever you hear. Counseling isn't confined to someone who describes himself as a counselor. Counseling is whatever goes into your head, into your heart, into your mind at any point of the day, particularly when you start. In fact, when you wake up, the worries are the first things that try and crowd in. Would anybody agree with me? The things that you've got which concern you, which are the challenges of your life, the things which are the hardest things around, the things that you tend to worry about, they arrive just as your eyes open. Isn't that true? Am I telling you the truth? Yes, right. So therefore, if we have the wonderful counselor living in us, surrounding us with his love, well, we need to hear what he has to say every day. And, you know, I just give these away at Christmas. You can have them for a £10 note and give them away for Christmas. If you haven't got one yourself. I'm not just saying read Faith Food just because we wrote it and because it pleases me if you do. It's because when you read it, we have sought to put faith into you for every day. It says faith, food for every day. Joyce and I read it. We share the word together. In the morning, we sit down and we have some time together and we read faith food out loud to each other because I just want to actually do. It's no good me telling you guys what I believe you ought to do if I don't do it myself. And so we do that every day. And you know I've written these Bible plans because I'm absolutely committed to people to reading the Bible. And I've got some over there, and you can buy them today. If you buy a faith food, get a Bible plan free, okay? And if you don't buy a faith food, you pay £1 for your Bible plan, okay? It's all right? So you know which is the best bargain. Now, it's not just because of the fact that I believe it's good to read the Bible. It's I want the wonderful counselor first talking to me before I get the news talking to me, before I get the newspaper talking to me, before I get someone who kind of is miserable talking to me. I want in me, first of all, the things that are going to do me good. Okay? Do you agree with me? And I know I'm kind of rabbiting on a bit about it, and I know I'm making a big point about the whole thing. But, I mean, it's interesting because we were away for nearly 8 weeks when we went over to Australia and New Zealand. And with all that's going around, reading the word and even faith food, sometimes it didn't happen. There you are, you see, backsliders. Now, the fact is this, you know, life, you know, when you've got your 5 grandkids and they're crawling all over you before you've woken up and all the rest of it and everything else is going on, you think, you know, when do I get to become a nice and holy and read the Bible? Well, the answer is you don't. And you just get on with life. However, I know that when we kind of had a moment to kind of breathe, we'd say to ourselves, hey, I just like to get alone. Just need to read the word. I just need to get my spirit enlivened, strengthened, built up by what God has to say to me. And it helps. And, you know, we don't want to be legalistic about anything. You know, God is a loving God. And if it doesn't work every day, don't worry. However, I want the wonderful counselor pouring his words into my life every day. Amen? So, let the reader understand. I'll move on before I kind of rabbit on too much. Mighty God, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, we have a mighty God. We prayed today about disease. Why? Because we have a mighty God. You know, surgery, they send me a letter every year and they say, you're ready for your flu jab. If I happen to be going round to the doctor and I say, no, I don't go. But when I go to the doctor and he says to me, have you had your flu jab? I said, no. He said, are you going to have it? I said, no. And of course the doctor almost starts kind of trembling. You know, are you going to survive? Are you going to survive? Yes, I'm going to survive because I have a mighty God. And I just believe that we can step back from believing that God does mighty things all the way. And I was just thinking about things that have happened to us. We were over in Pakistan in April, and one day we were in this house. Folks just loved to sit with our whole family, and we drank green tea. We met all the family, and we just talked to these folks and just chatted about this and that and the other. And that's what these folks love it. So we went into this home, we sat down, and out came the green tea. We started to be chatting about this and that and the other. But we were aware that lying in the bed was somebody, all kind of covered up. And as kind of things went on, it turned out that the, I think, 19-year-old daughter of the house, in this house, she was in bed with a fever. Now you say, why is she there? Because there isn't any other room in the house. Do you understand? It's the bedroom, it's the sitting room, it's the dining room, it's every room. So if she's ill, she's in the bed, and everybody else are now in the sitting room. And so she's there. And then eventually she just kind of comes over and she sits up. So Joyce and I would go over there and say, hey, she was going to be taking exams and she was have this fever. And we just said, hey, can we pray with you? Because this isn't good. It isn't good for your exams. And it isn't. And we've got a mighty God. So we just laid our hands on this delightful young girl. We prayed. And she just looked at it. Hey, I'm better. I'm healed. She actually went off and got a photo album of a special event in her family. She sat down with us and spoke about the photo album. We also told her and just tried to teach her how the fact we can resist these things. How next time something like this comes on, you just realize that God wants to come into you. You resist it. Don't let it come on you. But rather than just seeing this young lady lying in a bed with a fever, we have a mighty God. And when we go to the mighty God, he heals. He sets free. And I'm challenged about this. Corrine recommended a book a couple of weeks ago called Do What Jesus Does. I think that's the name of the title, something like that, by a guy called Robbie Dawkins, is that his name? Just check it out that I get the right name. And it's really a book about someone who's just going out, praying for people, and just doing what Jesus did. And, you know, I'm challenged. When we were in New Zealand, I have a nephew called Ben, and he's about 28, 29, and he's a bold and a very courageous believer. And he believes that there is a mighty God. So some months ago, he goes into a charity shop. And while he's walking around the charity shop, he just suddenly senses within himself, I believe there's somebody in this place who God wants to heal. So he looks around the shop, can't really see anybody there, except the lady who's behind the counter. So he goes up to her and says, I just believe that someone in this place needs healing. As it seems, the only two people in this place are you and me. Do you need prayer for healing? You know, just apropos nothing, you know, no introduction, do you need healing? This lady said, yes, I do. She said, I've got terrible arthritis in my knees. So I said, well, do you mind if I pray for you? So he just prayed for her in a very simple way. And she says, hey, that's great. Hey, you said, by now somebody else has come in the shop. And of course, she knows these folks who run the charity shops, they know all the whole community because they all come in to get their bargains. And she said, hey, she said, do you know, I've just received healing. This young man's prayed for me. Do you need anything prayed for? And so this person came and said, yes, I do. So Ben is there praying for this person, by which time the lady behind the counter has gone outside the door and said, hey, come on, anybody out there? He said, there's a guy in here who's praying for people. If you need a prayer. And in a moment, he's got a queue. And there's Ben praying for all these folks in the charity shop. And I don't know how many got healed, but I know the lady with the knees got healed. And I found myself challenged. Yeah, Ben is my nephew. I've known this kid since he was born. And I've seen him growing up. And it's been great that he's kind of, you know, loves Jesus and is absolutely committed to following Jesus. But here he is in the charity shop having a healing service because there is a mighty God. And in reading the book that Corrine recommended to me, I find myself challenged because he's just saying, look out, there are all sorts of people out there. They have all sorts of needs, and we have a mighty God. Amen? What? Ah, yes. We are jump leads. Joyce wrote a word this week on jump leads because another of our stories in New Zealand were that we'd gone off with my sister and brother-in-law. We'd gone to this town. We'd gone had a look around. It's a beauty spot. We'd popped into the charity shops, which you tend to do even when you go to places like Australia. They're not as good as ours, by the way, but nonetheless, that's just a by the by. So we then went and had a cup of coffee, come back to the car, and my brother-in-law walks up to the car, you know, presses the old fob to open up. Nothing doing. He's left the lights on. Well, he manages to open the door by using the key, gets in there, sticks it in the ignition, boom. This car is as dead as a dodo. Lord, we need somebody to rescue us. You know, you can wait for the RAC to turn up or whatever it is. And this guy just turning his car around, we just go up to him and said, you couldn't help us. This is what we've done. The lights are on. The car's dead. Can we put some jump leads across from your car to our car? Spontaneously. Next moment, he's driven alongside. The jump leads across. Bingo. The dead car is alive. And we just said, hey, you've been such a blessing to us. He just kind of indicated, oh, that's right. I just love to do that. Kind of pointed skywards. And as the conversation went on, he was a believer. So we had been rescued by a believer. The Lord began to speak to us about jump leads because what we are, when we talk about mighty God, we're jump leads. There's the power, there's the need, and we're the jump leads in between. And so let's be jump leads this time, okay? When you find a need, don't feel that it's your great spirituality that's actually going to get anybody healed, because you can't heal a fly with a headache. You can only connect to the source of infinite power, and you can bring that power down to the place of need. So, okay, jump leads for Jesus. All right, I think I better make a T-shirt about that. And so, mighty, where do we go? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Tanya just spoke in a very powerfully and very kind of, in a very moving way about we know the ones that we love the most, but in fact, the one who does love us the most is our everlasting Father. And Jesus came to show us the Father. At one point, Philip said, how can we know the Father? And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And in other words, I have shown you what it is to be loved. I have shown you what it is to feel secure. And so he is the everlasting Father. You know, that is one of the most important things. Well, it's probably the most important thing is to know that we're loved. You know? And God is the one who loves us. I think that the great thing about the pure love teaching, probably most of us here have gone through the pure love teaching, is that it really, the bottom line, it shows us that God loves us, shows that you're valuable, shows us that we're somebody who God thinks you're the best thing since sliced bread. Okay? You are the favorite. That's what God says. Now, we just need to know that. We just need to know that we're loved. And I just sense that in what God has been saying to us today, just want to say to every one of you, we just need to know that we are loved. Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples, you see, we see our human love. We see when somebody has gone away who we love. That is very, very difficult. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John, we have the record of it in John 14, 15, and 16. He said to the disciples, look here, I'm just about to go away. And that was tough. Hey, you've been with us for 3 years. You have been somebody who we loved, someone who loved us. We have just felt so secure. Now you're going away. And he said, yes, but I'm sending someone to be with you. I'm not leaving you alone. And then he said to them, but because I'm not alone, he said, you're going to run away. You're going to abandon me. But I'm not alone because my Father is with me. And that's what we need to know. I am not alone, but my Father's with me. In all the comings and goings today, I forgot. I have a little Russian doll, which I've often used in preaching. We went to Wales last week. I took my Russian doll, but probably because I was picking out my books and things, I had written it down, but it kind of slipped out of my head. So I didn't bring my Russian doll. But you know what I mean by a Russian doll, don't you? Right, there's a whole series of things. I'm going to have to put this down a moment just to describe it with my hand. Okay, here's your Russian doll. There is... Good, great. Oh, yes, good. So there is the doll, okay? You open up the doll, and there's another one inside. Okay? Jesus lives in you, okay? There you are. Open you up. Jesus is inside you. Okay? Put the doll on. Take the next doll and put it on the outside. That's Jesus. Inside. Filling you with his love. Outside. Protecting you from the enemy. Amen. Everlasting Father. Jesus said in John 14, I am in my Father. This is when he says, I'm going to go away from you. I'm going to go away. I'm sending you the Comforter. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's me, Russian doll. You are in me, and I am in you. So we're protected. And also, we are indwelt. Every way it comes, we have what we need. Okay? Happy? Prince of Peace. And then we're gonna receive communion. Because I just feel I just feel today that what God has been saying to us is that we're gonna go into this Christmas period and we want to have everything that God has for us. Christmas time can actually be a disappointment. They can have lots of mince pies and lots of turkey, But actually, when we get through to kind of January the 2nd, we can think, hey, I just feel a little bit sort of deprived. And the reason for that is that we actually get deprived from what God wants to give us, Prince of Peace. You know, peace is a gift. I love the bit that follows in this. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. When Jesus comes into us, it says, of the increase his government and peace, there will be no end. Sue was just sharing of the service was on the radio this morning. Was it the radio? The radio service. And the person was talking about peace. It says, you know, he came and said, you know, he brought peace on earth. You know, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Where's peace on earth? And, you know, the question is saying, hey, we're in a pretty rough state if we kind of look around the world. What about peace on earth? And then the person who was speaking said, it's not the fact that we're not looking for political peace around the world. Actually, the peace on earth is what the peace that we get inside of us. Wasn't that it, Sue? And he was just saying the Christmas message is that he puts his peace in us. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And his peace is a gift. Sometimes we believe peace comes because everything is seeming to be okay. And the fact is this, that the peace that Jesus comes, he comes when everything is not okay. Okay? It says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. The peace of God, which passes all over understanding. And we were listening to Bill Johnson preach a few years ago, and he said, to receive the peace that passes understanding means that you don't always have understanding. If I could understand, I could receive peace. And God says, you don't understand, but I'll still give you peace. Because there are things that you've got going on in your lives, you think, Lord, I don't really know what's happening to me, and I don't like what's happening to me. And God says to you, I'm giving you peace in any case. You don't need to understand, because I do understand. And when you need to understand, you will understand. But you will still have this peace in your heart. Now, I'm just going to close, because we're going to have communion. And I mentioned about the fact that this is what Jesus puts in us. But actually, he wants us to impart this to everywhere we go. We need to be those who are the wonderful counselor. We need to be those who do the works of power. We need to be those who assure people that God is a God of love. And we need to be those who speak peace. In 1 John 4, verse 17, in the King James Version, the last phrase of that verse says, because as he is, so are we in this world. And that is an amazingly powerful and challenging statement. As he is, so are we in this world. So, make sure you get the right input. Make sure you got your jump leads ready to connect up here and connect down there. Make sure you know I am not alone. For my Father is with me, and know that the Prince of Peace is the one who lives inside of you and gives you his peace. And if there are areas that you are thinking about at this time, as we receive the communion, we're going to have folk in various places just to give it. And as you receive the communion, just say, Lord, I know that you are making everything that has been spoken about today, I'm taking hold of it. I'm receiving it into myself. And Lord, let me, as I interact with folk, take up Alan's challenge to go out and eat a mince pie with 12 people. And as you go, you are Jesus to those people. As he is, so are we in this world. As you interact with family and friends over Christmas time, you impart who he is to them. And let's have some testimonies of miracles and great things happening in people's lives. I want to pray, and then we're going to receive communion. Father, I want to thank you that you are the great and mighty God, and you sent Jesus, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you that you are ministering to us today everything we need. Your love, your security, your fatherhood, your peace. And Father, I thank you that as we step out into our world, we can be everything to them that you are to us. Father, as we receive, thank you for the bread and the wine. Jesus, he said, as often as you do this, we declare him, we declare his victory. And as we receive the bread, it's his brokenness brings our wholeness. As we share the wine, his blood is our cleansing. But not only is it a remembrance of the victory of Calvary, he comes to us in the communion as he did when he gave it to his disciples. And it was like the cup of betrothal. It was to say, you're my family, you're my bride, and I'm going back to my Father to await my bride. And I want you to know that I just feel excited about you belonging to me, and I want you to feel excited about you belonging to me. Father, we just ask you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.